TradeWatch.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Say hey, it is Monday, the time is 5:32, you're listening to Say Hey, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, Noobs will be along shortly. It's a lovely day, what is it, only about 90 degrees? That's not so bad. I played a little golf earlier this afternoon. My brother was in town and he had the... He's helping open up the new Buffalo Wild Wings that's going out there off of East. So he's been in and out of town from Portland quite a bit. We went out and played at Canyon Oaks for an annual tournament that goes on out there. So that was a good time. And back here in the studio, looks like Noobs is on his way in as we speak, matter of fact. This is, of course, Say Hey, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings, opening on August 9th. Buffalo Wild Wings features 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at BuffaloWildWings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. And here is Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Having some issues. Snapped my ignition key off in my truck.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, that's not good.
No.
So what'd you do?
Nothing.
Did you run down here?
I walked. Oh, it looks like I ran, probably.
Well, it's warm enough to break a sweat out.
Yeah,
there.
It's good for me against some of these weekend toxins out of me.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man. I was about to fall asleep getting off the golf course earlier because even though you're just riding around in a cart, you know, just being in the sun all day and
takes it out of you.
Taking, you know, a couple hundred swings or however many it seems like you're taking. More like 100, but
right.
It does kind of whoop you a little bit. You know, today, Noobs, I figure we talk about a couple of different things. First, I got to lead the program off with the passing of one of my boyhood heroes, if you will, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yes.
Yes. That happened just a few days ago on Friday, I believe. And I was for those of you that don't know, Rowdy Roddy Piper was a very popular WWF wrestler back in the 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And his shtick was that he was Scottish, even though he was Canadian. And he was the hot rod. He was always fired up, and he wore a kilt, and he was, you know, flamboyant like all those guys were back then.
He was one of the best interviews.
He had Piper's Pit.
Yep.
He was the Intercontinental Champion. And he was just great. He was a heel in the early 80s.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to be a big fan in the late 80s and into the 90s, he came to be like a crowd pleaser, more of a fan favorite.
Absolutely. It's funny because when I saw your post, I had posted something too, a picture of him from They Live, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. When I saw yours, I had forgotten that he was actually a bad guy.
Right.
And I was like, because like in my memory, he's just, you know, because like you said, he's such a fan favorite.
Yeah.
That I had totally forgotten all about like his early beginnings.
Yeah. And I didn't even remember those either because he was such like one of my guys. Like
even though
I
he was bad,
Roddy
he was like
Piper.
One of the ones that you liked.
Yeah.
Kind of like Macho Man Randy Savage. Uh-huh. Like even when he was bad, he was still good.
He wasn't so
bad. He wasn't so bad.
No. And he used to come out and he was just so fired up.
Yeah.
Like he would gyrate and just, you know, wave his arms around. People go crazy. He had the sleeper hold. He, you know, he'd run around. He'd be clothesline of people, and then just when you think he's going to pull some big move, he'd do a little eye doink, and everybody would laugh.
Right.
He was great, and he was only 61.
I know it's early,
and a lot of these guys die young. And the real sad part about Piper is that he wasn't like in some you know, arrested state of development, some like broken down old man. He was actually still quite active.
Right.
My brothers worked with him before at like Nike events.
Okay.
He was still popping up with WWE and doing little legend stuff and, you know, really mentally together, but probably you live that lifestyle, you know, you're putting a lot of strain on your heart, whether
yes.
or not you've got it now or not.
Right.
And it just gave out at 61. So I didn't have time to think about it much on Friday because I was really busy all day long. But then on Saturday, I don't know why I started thinking about it, and it just kind of like, you know, hit me that this guy that I enjoyed so much as a mm-hmm. kid is, you know, he's gone. Not that I, you know, relish in his activities now so much, but when somebody from your childhood kind of just disappears like that,
yeah.
you reflect on it and it's just kind of a melancholy feeling, you know?
Yeah. Brought back some good memories though for me.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
You know?
Yeah, I immediately thought of Royal Rumble 92, which is my favorite ever and really kind of the pinnacle of that era of wrestling. And Ric Flair won it. He was in there for like an hour.
Okay.
And Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon are doing color and they're, you know, totally wild. And at one point, Flair had eliminated Big Boss Man. And so it was just Flair in the ring waiting for the next contestant.
Right.
And of course, it's Piper.
Nice.
And he comes out and everyone goes crazy. And Heenan's screaming, "It's not fair to Flair. It's not fair to Flair." Yeah, it's just, it's totally wild stuff. I recommend that to any fan. So I figured we'd...
It wasn't fair to the first guy who had to get in the ring.
Right.
You'd outlast 19 more guys after that?
That's
I mean,
right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So let's do a Roddy Piper promo, actually. This one happens to be with Hulk Hogan when they actually teamed up in 92. Because they were enemies back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And like many characters, they eventually team up. So this is them getting fired up, I think, to face Flair. Let's have a listen. This is before a gig in Boston, actually.
"You know something, Jack Tunney, Roddy, must want to take care of all the family business on one day.
Mm.
You know, you versus Ric Flair is main event, brother. And if it went down that way, I know you'd be the WWF champion.
What?
Me versus Sid Justice, that could happen any place, anytime. But in the same ring, me and the Roddy one against Flair and Sid Justice,
ooh.
You guys don't have a chance.
Mr. Tunney, you might as well retire your fat butt. Do what you do best. Sleep. Sid Justice, do what you do best. I'm looking for a baby. Are you kidding me? You think we ruled for the last 10 years because we're dummies? You big goofball. You want... Oh, are you sick today? Poor baby. Let me tell you something. You got Flair buzzing in your ear thinking you're going to do something. When we get a hold of you and the power comes together, you know what else you can do? Just get set to sweat.
The Hulkster and the Hot Scott out to punish Ric Flair and Sid Justice. See it all happen tonight when it starts at 8 p.m. at the Boston Garden.
There you have it. That was, you know?
That's hilarious. You know, a lot of people, obviously, you know, people are like, oh, wrestling's fake. So, you know, they kind of like look down on it. But these guys are phenomenal athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Acrobatic. And the fact, one of the things I love is the self-promotion. I mean, you know, we listened to one of those from Macho Man,
yeah.
you know, whenever he passed.
Yeah.
And it's like you just realize there's no script.
No.
They just tell these guys to go out there and act like maniacs.
Yeah, back then, that's the way it was.
So they're actors, they're athletes, all in one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was fun as a kid.
It was. And not to take away anything from people that are still into wrestling nowadays, but it is known that these days all those guys have writers for the most part.
Right.
They use teleprompters. It's less flamboyant. The characters aren't as wacky. It's more, it's always been macho, but it was kind of macho wrapped in like a feathered boa, if you will,
yeah.
back then.
No, now it's more like militaristic kind of.
Yeah, kind of,
like.
You know, like tribal tattoos on, you know, dudes with shaved heads. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to, you know, ballpark the whole thing, but it's very different now.
No, everybody's kind of come to the middle a little bit. It's
uh-huh.
more generic looking.
Yeah.
They kind of almost look like just really beefed up MMA fighters, honestly.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a sad day that Roddy Piper has passed away, but we have a lot of fond memories.
Absolutely.
And later in the show, we'll take you out with Roddy's theme song to end the program. But let's move on here on Say Hey, and it's been a kind of a wild time for baseball because the trade deadline has just passed.
Whew, man.
There were a lot of moves.
Big moves.
Big moves. And with the second wild card in play each year now, there's just more... There's more interest for more teams.
Absolutely.
So it's a little bit harder for... say just the big boys to try and steal everyone,
right?
Because you've got guys like the Blue Jays or the Rangers, for example, that although they're just about 500, that means they're only five games out of the second wild card.
Yeah, and it was really interesting to see which teams would make plays to improve and which ones would kind of start playing for next year. Because Detroit, at the time that they got rid of Price and Cespedes, were only like 3.5-4 games out of the second wild card.
Yeah, and Detroit, I thought, made a smart move, at least in part with Price, because this is not their year. They have been on a slight decline, that the empire they had built for those few years.
Well, they started out 9-1, and they just played sub 500.
It's been slowly kind of eroding, and they're not in total rebuild mode. They still have some pieces, and if they get
Cabrera's
a little bit in
injured.
Return, they're going to be competitive again real quick without having to tear it all down.
I agree.
Although I do think it's bizarre that Cespedes is on his fourth team in 2 years.
That's crazy to me.
Because,
I'm like,
A, he's a good player.
He's a great player.
And B, there's nothing to say that he isn't a clubhouse guy. His teammates love him.
No, I think it's just one of those circumstantial things where, you know, the A's obviously do what they do and sell, which was a big mistake, I think, for them last year.
Oh, yeah.
He was the heart of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Boston, I guess, with, you know, Hanley coming over, I guess they felt there just wasn't enough room in that outfield, which is ridiculous because now, you know.
Hanley's been such a dud, especially defensively.
Yeah, I mean, put Cespedes in right. I mean, what were they thinking? They were going to get something more out of Shane Victorino this year, who's not even on the team.
Right.
So, you know, and then he goes to Detroit, and now he's, you know, with the Mets.
The Mets got to be stoked.
I think the Mets, I mean, besides the Blue Jays and maybe the Royals, I think the Mets maybe made the biggest splash, because not only did they, you know, increase their offensive production by getting Juan Uribe and Cespedes, it's kind of kicked these guys into gear. Lucas Duda is just on fire right now. He's hit like 9 home runs the last 8 games, and they picked up Tyler Clippard, which is going to help them because
that's a nice pickup.
Their setup guy got his second PED suspension.
Yep, so he's out for a full year
on top of the 80 that he just served. So he's going to miss 240 straight games.
And Familia, who's been a real nice story as the out of nowhere closer, was starting to show, you know, the hey, maybe I'm not a closer all the time signs.
Well,
he blew like three straight saves after having a great year.
Real tough luck one though last week against Padres. He had to come out after a 45-minute delay. He was one strike away from nailing that down.
Right,
and then you know, they pull the tarps out.
Yeah,
with two outs to go, and then he comes back and gives up 2 hits and a jack.
But now you give him a breather, put him in the setup role for a bit. Clippard's getting saves. That's a good move. And when you have as much pitching as the Mets do, starting wise, if you can just score some runs and have, you know, a decent, well, you know, I shouldn't say decent, but a consistent bullpen, you can really set yourself up to win everything once you get to the playoffs.
No, absolutely.
And we know that, as the Giants have done that so well in recent years.
For sure. With DeGrom, Harvey, and Syndergaard, that's going to be a formidable playoff rotation they get there.
If they get there, because, of course, the Mets offense hasn't just been bad. It's been one of it's been one of the worst in the game by far. So they still have to put it together. But you know what? They're in first place right now.
Right.
The Nationals are slipping, and they have never really taken off this year.
Yeah, even though they're getting a bunch of guys back from injury, Zimmerman's coming back. Worth came back. Both those guys are back now. But it's just something about Washington. It's like everybody every year, you know, crowns them the World Series champion, and now they're looking at actually not even making the playoffs.
I know,
because the they're tied right now virtually in the East, but both of those teams would be like 2.5 back of the Cubs and the Giants, respectively, for the second. I feel like Pittsburgh's running away with that first wild card. So there's a possibility that the Nationals don't even make the playoffs.
It's possible, and of course, there's still a lot of season to play, but it's not going to be any sort of cakewalk for the Nationals at this point.
No.
The notion that we had that maybe they would run away with the division, I think is more or less gone now that the Mets have made some improvements offensively.
Absolutely.
Because I don't see the Nationals somehow turning into that 110-win team out of nowhere.
No, it's not happening.
Not with the Mets improving as such.
The winner is going to have like 90 wins probably.
Something. It's late 90s.
Yeah,
something like that. And then, you know what? The Blue Jays, I got to give them credit for really going for it. They definitely traded away some name prospects in the process, but they pried Tulowitzki away from Colorado, which people thought would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Tula just seemed like one of those guys destined to be on bad teams and just never waive his no-trade clause or whatever. And then they also pick up Price, who got the win today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to be hard-pressed to push the Yankees for the division. But now they're really going to compete for those wild card spots.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty tight in the American League right now. You've got like seven teams, I think, that are within four, including even the Rangers at below 500.
Who picked up Hamels.
Had a decent start on Saturday, but that turned into one of those Arlington
games. That was a wild game.
Where it's
the
like
Giants
8-7.
Wound up winning in the extra frames.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Hamels is good, but he's not Kershaw and he's not Greinke. Not anymore.
He's definitely overrated for what he's prized as on the market.
He has been used to pitching in a hitter's park in Philadelphia for all those years, so I don't think Arlington's going to be too bad for him. But at the same time, it's kind of like Colorado. You know what I mean? Not because of the altitude. Obviously, it's at sea level. But that ballpark, it's just
live.
Like, it's live.
Especially down the lines.
Yeah.
And, another thing is that the Rangers, I think, smartly made that move because he's got years left on his contract.
Yes.
And it's not just for right now. So in their process of continuing to improve, because they've been a pretty nice surprise this year, even flirting around 500 and above.
Yeah.
That's a good move for them if they have money to spend in these coming years just of securing up a rotation spot.
For sure. And Yu Darvish should be back next year. Hopefully he'll be fully healthy.
And I got to tip my cap to Prince Fielder, who's really having a
great bounce back.
I mean, probably at this point your comeback player of the year in the AL.
Absolutely, because they should not give it to A-Rod, because comeback should be for like injuries, not for suspensions.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
that's interesting. I wonder how that'll go in the voting process.
It's got to be either one of those guys. I think Fielder will probably win.
I hope so. And then speaking of Toronto, we had a hotly contested series against the Royals this weekend.
Wow.
Which was really, to be honest, the Royals stirring it up again, throwing at guys left and right, which has become their MO. They kind of got this nasty boy thing coming out of the bullpen that they like to do now, where they're going to throw at you and they're going to act like it's never their fault, and Ned Yost is going to back them up. And Yordano Ventura has been at the center of a lot of this.
Yes, early in the season, too.
And they threw at Donaldson. They threw at Batista. The Blue Jays tried to retaliate, maybe even not all the way, and wound up getting ejections. It was a bad game for the umpiring crew. But Ventura goes out and kind of rips Batista over Twitter after all this. Really immature stuff. And I want to play this clip from the Toronto, like, analysts, if you will, back there. They kind of had something to say about it. So they'll explain it, and then Greg Zahn, former Major League catcher of 16 years, responds in turn to Ventura. So I don't know. I kind of got a kick out of this. We'll see what you guys think.
Well, some interesting developments came well after the game yesterday, including a tweet, perhaps three of them, and promptly deleted, I might add, from Yordano Ventura. Those who saw it and were able to translate it said he said this to Jose Bautista, quote, "We'll meet again later, and if you do that with me, you'll see what I'm about. You got lucky this time, but MLB doesn't get canceled after this season. You need to stop giving signs. You're going to get it from me for being fresh, and you really are a nobody." So, Yordano Ventura calling Jose Bautista a nobody led Greg to write a letter to Mr. Ventura. Is that true?
Yes. And I read, "Dear Yordano Ventura, are you seriously running your mouth? You don't even have 3 years of uninterrupted service time. The only reason you're even in the show right now is because Jason Vargas blew out. They sent you back to the semi-pros because you were stinking up the place. You weigh about $125 and should probably be watching your back. Jose Bautista is a six-time All-Star with 269 lifetime homers and 12 years of service time. Hardly a nobody. Show some respect and stop writing checks with your mouth that your skinny ass can't cash. Especially from the safety of your team bus as you exit town with your tail between your legs. Don't puff your chest out and challenge a grown man via Twitter and then erase the tweets. Go knock on the Jays clubhouse door and do it like a man if you feel that strongly. Stop acting like Tommy Tough Guy while hiding behind the internet and a dozen teammates. Stop running your mouth, kid. We all know what you're about. There's no confusion there. You're the guy who throws 100 mile an hour fastballs at guys when you know you don't have to hit or face the Jays again in the regular season. Grab a bat and man up. Otherwise, shut up. Sincerely yours, The Manalist, Section 134 at the Rogers Center, in case you're wondering where I'll be."
Wow.
That's Greg Zahn. Greg Zahn's fired up. I don't know. I think it's funny. You know, it's kind of over the top, but guys like Yordano Ventura that act like Rob Dibble and, you know, whoever else, it's just too much. Now, to Ventura's credit, I think he's felt the heat a little bit, and he issued this statement. At this moment, I am realizing that ire really does take over a human, and that is what happened to me. I apologize for my comment to Jose Bautista, who was a good man and a great human being, and to all fans that are in shock with my actions. I hope they know that I regret them. We all make mistakes and must learn from them. We all know my temperament, but I am working to better it and better myself as a person. I know I'm not making myself less of a man by apologizing over something I did with a hothead. I ask for forgiveness once again, and thank God, who gives me the capacity to recognize my errors.
Wow, that's good.
So that's a pretty big apology there.
No, I think that's great. I mean, because he's a young kid. And I mean, people get fired up, and baseball, you know, they don't think of it as emotional because, like, you're not hitting each other every play, like, say, football. But tempers can flare in baseball.
And you're throwing a ball at one another.
Yeah,
hard ball.
It can get very physical, and, you know, we saw it with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh this weekend. The benches were clearing. Votto was yelling. It happens in baseball. We see it. So I'm glad to hear that from Ventura because the kid's got talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he pitched fantastically for them last year in the postseason.
Yeah.
And
he brings it.
And, you know, this reminds me of 85 when Kansas City and Toronto were both good. They played each other in the American League Championship that mm-hmm. year when Kansas City went on to win the World Series against the Cardinals. I would like to see a 7-game series between these guys.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome.
That's a really kind of fun new rivalry.
Yeah.
Or rebirth or whatever you want to call
it. Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is that despite the fact that the Yankees are pretty safe with the AL East,
their offense is blowing up.
They're curiously uninteresting. Like, I don't find myself or even the national media outside of ESPN, who just will cover anything that the Yankees do or blah blah blah.
Absolutely,
they're really not that interesting a story. Which doesn't mean they're not going to maybe win the World Series or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of strange how the real like meat and potatoes of who's hot in the AL is about teams like Kansas City, Toronto, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, even the
Houston.
Twins to extent. Houston, who's playing really well after the Angels have lost 9 of 10.
They made a couple of big pickups, too.
Exactly, in Kazmir.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit, I wouldn't say a shift, but kind of a shift in who's getting attention and who's not.
I like
not.
It.
I like it a lot.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were living, you know, in the I-95 corridor, all we hear is Yankees, Yankees, Yankees.
Right.
But, you know, it is good, you know, especially like MLB Network. They spread the love in their coverage, I feel.
I'd say for the most part they do.
You know.
They have their biases like anyone, but they're not ESPN.
They're not ESPN by any stretch. It's going to be interesting. We got, a few really good teams that just aren't going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Minnesota started out well, but they seem like they're kind of fading a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Baltimore or Toronto overtaking them.
White Sox
had a hot streak there for a minute.
Yeah, I think that Baltimore is in a little trouble in terms of making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
With the improvements that Toronto's made and the Yankees showing that they look to be pretty consistent,
right?
Baltimore could very well slip through the cracks there.
This is true. I think with, you know, the pickups that Toronto made, I mean, they were already the best offense in baseball.
Uh-huh.
And then Tulo comes in and just, you know, is just loving it at the Rogers Center.
Yep. And they got a perchance real ace in Price.
A real ace.
He's pitching well.
Which they needed badly.
Mm-hmm. They did.
It's going to be interesting. It's, we still got, 60-something games.
Yeah.
Or maybe 50-plus games, but it's going to be great down the stretch for sure.
Yep.
Giants, Leak, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Leak flies under the radar because he's not flashy, but
that's a big pickup for them.
This is a guy that's posted about a 3.5 career ERA pitching in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
A ballpark
that
is liver than Coors Field in terms of home runs.
Right.
The livest yard in baseball.
Yeah.
So when he gets to AT&T, those balls aren't flying the same way.
No, they're not.
So I look for Leak to be a pretty solid pickup that just doesn't get a lot of attention. And they've been playing good ball lately. They do drop 2 of 3 in Texas, but they're beating up on the Braves right now. Joe Panik to the DL with a back tweak, which is always a little scary because backs are temperamental.
Yes.
Pagan is sitting out tonight, which he needs to be because the guy should not be playing center field. He is beat down.
Right.
He is not a center fielder anymore, and it shows on a daily basis.
Back-to-back jacks from the Brandons today, though.
Yeah. And, the A's, all we can say is poor A's fans, one more year.
It's
just trading it away.
It's awful. I mean, they had arguably two of the best pitchers in the American League with Gray and Kazmir, and then dump one. And, this is kind of, it feels like the wheels are coming off the Billy Beane bus a little bit.
Well, if they had an owner that really, like, cared,
yeah,
the wheels would probably be taken off that Billy Beane bus.
I mean, the Josh Donaldson thing.
Okay, that's enough.
It's enough.
But Lou Wolf is not that guy.
Yeah.
So he's just going to let Billy Beane do his thing in perpetuity.
I mean,
until Billy Beane decides he wants to leave.
Are they going to?
They're not going to fire Billy Beane.
The question is, are they going to get a ballpark? And are they going to be able to stay in Oakland?
I don't think they're going to get a ballpark, but I think they're going to wind up staying in Oakland. I think they're just going to be there.
At the Coliseum?
Yeah, doesn't that sound weird?
I don't think that's going to... I don't see how that could happen. They're the only baseball team...
Nobody's offering them a ballpark.
They're the only baseball team that shares their stadium with football now.
I know.
The only one.
But the Raiders, they got one foot out the door.
True.
One way or the other. Nobody's saying, hey, A's, come here. We'll build you a ballpark.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
I mean, if you made it a more fan... Like, if they, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, if they did build a more fan-friendly, you know, closer to the field experience, you know, mm-hmm. a stadium like that, like all these other, you know, Jacobs Field and Camden Yards.
They're 27th in attendance this year.
Do you think people would start coming, or is it the product on the field?
I don't know. It's weird. The A's have some great fans. I know some great A's fans.
But even when they're good, it seems like.
They don't have them in droves
like
the Giants do, or they don't have the true hardcore, we're still going to get 45 to 50,000 people in there like the Raiders do.
Yeah.
They don't have the passion of the whole Bay Area like the Warriors do. Because you look at, say when they played Minnesota in the playoffs during that great run of the Big Three.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota obviously isn't a big draw, but that's the playoffs. Those Minnesota Twins games drew 30,000, 34,000 for
a playoff
game.
That's inexcusable.
It just can't happen, but it happened. And they had a hard time selling out those games against the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Even when those were 100-win teams.
No, I went to the 2003 ALDS, and I got a ticket that day.
Yeah, and it's like that's not a front on the great A's fans that are out there, because I know some great ones.
Yeah.
But they just don't have as many fans.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Hmm.
You know, like the White Sox don't have as many fans as the Cubs. They just don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just kind of the way it is. But I think if they had a better ballpark, they would draw a little bit better.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's 5:58. We talked some good baseball today, Noobs.
We did.
Let's remember Hot Rod on the way out, though. Let you know that Say Hey was made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Peter Tichinen in association with Baywood Real Estate, a local real estate firm established in 1962. Peter Tichinen and Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio and can be reached at 680-1900 or at chicohomes.com. We will take you out with the Hot Rods intro theme here on Say Hey. Stick around. There's going to be, let's see, we got Peace Talks Radio coming right up next, actually. So don't go anywhere. Lots more on the way here on KZFR.